Many people believe that yes, they are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, like yourselves and I, but they are not the children of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. And they base their opinion on what has been narrated by Ka'ab, كأنهم من ولد آدم من غير هوا وذلك أن آدم نام فاحتلم فامتزجت نطفته بالتراب فخلق منها يأجوج ومأجوج. Ka'ab narrates كهم من ولد آدم من غير هوا, that they are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, but not the children of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. That is because أن آدم نام فاحتلم, that when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was sleeping, and whilst he was sleeping he had ihtilam, a wet dream, and the semen fell to the ground, it intermingled with the earth. فَخُلِكَ مِنْهَا يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj were created from that particular semen. They base their opinion on what has been narrated by Ka'ab. However, this opinion on what has been narrated by Ka'ab is objectionable and questionable, because the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, as many hadith clearly indicate, do not have ihtilam, do not have a wet dream. As a wet dream, ihtilam is from the shaitan, and the shayateen have no effect on the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, in a marfu hadith it is clearly stated, annahum min zuriyati nu wa nu min zuriyati adam wa hawa qat'an. In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is clearly stated that they are from the children and the progeny of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, without a doubt, was a child and a descendant from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and also Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. So from this we can conclude how baseless their opinion is, that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are only the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and not the children of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. The correct belief is of the Ahl Sunnah that they are the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and also the children of Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, like yourselves and I. Another question which arises is, what do they look like? As there are many, many myths surrounding their appearance. There have been many, many asar and many, many narrations mentioned in regards to their appearance. A brief summary of what these narrations suggest is that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are of three types. Some صنف أجسادهم كالأرض وهو شجر كبار جدا. Some are as tall as the tree Arz, which is around 120 feet. صنف أربعة أزرع في أربعة أزرع. Some are four spans tall and four spans wide. وصنف يفترشون آذانهم وَيَلْتَحِفُونَ بِالْأُخْرَى. Some spread one ear to sleep on and they use the other ear to cover their bodies. In some narration it is stated, أَنَّ طُولَهُمْ شِبْرٌ وَشِبْرَيْنَ وَأَطْوَلَهُمْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْبَارٍ, that they are only one or two spans tall and the tallest amongst them is three spans. However, I would like to mention and make it very clear that all these asar, all the narrations that suggest what I have just mentioned, are all weak and cannot be taken. وَالَّذِي تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ الرِّوَايَاتُ صَحِيحَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ رِجَالٌ أَقْوِيَاءُ لَا طَاقَةَ لِأَحَدِهِمْ بِقِتَالِهِمْ وَيُبْعِدْ أَنْ يَكُونَ طُولُ أَحَدِهِمْ شِبْرٌ وَشِبْرَيْنَ. The authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the hadith of Nawas bin Sam'an, which can be found in Sahih Muslim, which we will soon deal with. These ahadithes, the authentic ahadithes, clearly suggest أَنَّهُمْ رِجَالٌ أَقْوِيَاءُ لَا طَاقَةَ لِأَحَدٍ بِقِتَالِهِمْ. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj are very, very powerful people and nobody has the power to fight with them. In the hadith which can be found in Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تَقُولُونَ لَا عَدُوٌ أَنَّكُمْ تُقَاتِلُونَ عَدُوًا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ. إِرَادُ الْوُجُوهِ صِغَارُ الْعُيُونِ شُهْبَ الشِّعَافِ من كل حدب ينسلون كأن وجوههم المجان المطرقة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that you say there is no enemy. إنكم تقاتلون عدوا حتى يأتي يأجوج ومأجوج. لا تزالون تقاتلون عدوا, that you will keep on fighting the enemy till يأجوج and مأجوج come. إراب الوجوه, their faces will be wide. صغار العيون, their eyes small. شهب الشعار, their hair gray. من كل حدب ينسلون, they will come forth from every lofty place. كأن وجوههم المجان المطرقة, their faces will look like shields covered with skin. So my brothers and sisters, from the authentic ahadiths we learn that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are a people which are so powerful that nobody will be able to fight them. Their faces will be broad, their eyes will be small, greyish of hair, and their faces will look like skin, shields covered with skin. This is the description of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Going back to the verse of the Quran, إِنَّ يَعْجُوجَ وَمَعْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَهَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدَّهُ. When these people saw the extraordinary ways and means of Dhulqarnain, and when they observed his great pomp and power, they thought that this is the person that can save them from the great disaster which they often bore at the hands of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So they asked him, O Dhulqarnain, Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been creating great corruption in our land for a long time. They commit, they plunder us, steal our food, commit bloodshed, and then run away. They asked him if he was prepared to set a barrier for them, and in return they were ready to pay for its expenses in the form of tax. Dhulqarnain replied, قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ فَأَعِيُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me sufficient wealth. Aid me with labor. Help me, and I will erect this barrier for you. آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبة. First big ignits of iron was set one upon the other, and when they rose high up to the peaks of the two mountains, he ordered the people, unfukhu, blow them. When the iron became hot like fire, he ordered them to pour molten copper upon the ignis, which entered into the crevices of the ignis, making it very hard like a mountain. When the gate was ready, the Quran says, فَمَا اسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبَةً, that they were not given power to cross it or pierce the gate. Now the question that needs to be answered here is, where is this iron gate of Dhulqarnain? My brothers and sisters, many, many opinions and many, many different opinions have been expressed as to the location and situation of this iron gate of Dhulqarnain. Many, many books have also been written on the subject. The best piece I came across was the work of Shaykh Hifz al-Rahman rahimahullah, Shaykh Hifz al-Rahman's work, Qasas al-Quran. Shaykh Hifz al-Rahman thoroughly researched the subject, Let me very briefly share a summary of what Shaykh Hifz al-Rahman has written in Qasas al-Quran. Shaykh Hifz al-Rahman rahimahullah has written that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj caused destruction in such a vast area that from one side all those who live near Caucasia were their target and prey, and from the other side those that lived in Tibet and China were their target and prey. And because of this oppression and destruction, many, many barriers and walls were erected in different times, different places, by different kings. Four being the most famous. Firstly, the Great Wall of China, which was built by the Chinese king Fa Fo around 3,460 years after the coming of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to earth. Secondly, the wall in Central Asia near Bukhara and Tirmiz in a place called Derbent, which was already present at the time of the king Timur Ling. Thirdly, the wall in Dagestan, Russia, also in a place called Derbent, a town near the Caspian Sea. And the fourth wall is in the westerly direction of the third one, in the region of the Caucasus. These are the four most famous walls. Shaykh Ibn Rahman further writes, because these walls were all built for one purpose and are all situated in the north, it has always been very difficult to determine which is the wall of Dhulqarnayn. He further writes, the biggest wall out of the four walls is the Great Wall of China. And nobody is of the opinion that this is the wall Dhulqarnayn built, as this wall is in the far east. And the Quran indicates that the wall Dhulqarnayn built is in the northerly direction. This leaves three walls. The wall in Central Asia near Bukhara and Tirmiz, in a place called Derbent. The wall in Dagestan, Russia, also in a place called Derbent, near the a town near the Caspian Sea. And thirdly, the wall in the region of the Caucasus. Generally, the historians like Mas'udi, Istakhri and Hamawi are of the opinion that the wall of Dhulqarnayn is either the one in Dagestan, Russia, in a place called Derbent, or either the one in the region of the Caucasus. He writes, those that have said that the wall of Dhulqarnayn is the one near Bukhara and Tirmiz in a place called Derbent have become confused because of the place Derbent, which is near Bukhara and Tirmiz, and also in Dagestan, Russia, near the Caspian Sea. This leaves two walls. The one in Dagestan, Russia, in a place called Derbent, a town near the Caspian Sea. And secondly, the wall in the region of the Caucasus. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, a master of a hadith of his time, is of the opinion, and is written in his book Aqidatul Islam, that the wall of Dhulqarnayn is the one in the region of the Caucasus. This is a very brief summary of what Shaykh Hifz al-Rahman has written in his book Qasas al-Quran. After mentioning this summary, I would like to conclude with the words of Allama Alusi rahmahullah, as I find myself inclined towards Allama Alusi rahmahullah's opinion. Allama Alusi rahmahullah has written that we do not know the location of the wall of Dhulqarnayn. We do not know where this wall is situated. It is very, very probable that there are great seas and mountains which lie between us and the wall of Dhulqarnayn, or Ya'juj and Ma'juj and the rest of the wall of the world. This is Allama Alusi rahmahullah's opinion, and I find myself inclined towards Allama Alusi rahmahullah's opinion. The second question that needs to be answered regarding the wall is, has anybody ever seen the wall of Dhulqarnayn after from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam onwards. It is narrated by Qatada that he says, ذُكِرَ لَنَا كَأَنَّ رَجْلٌ قَالْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ رَأَيْتُ سَدَّ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ. Qatada narrates that it has been related to us that a man said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, قَدْ رَأَيْتُ سَدَّ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ, that I have seen the wall of Dhulqarnayn. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to describe it. Inartfully, he replied, كأنه البرد المحبر طريقة سوداء وطريقة حمراء قال قد رأيته. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him to describe the wall. He described the wall for رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. After describing the wall, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم replied in the affirmative, قد رأيته, that you definitely have seen the wall of Dhulqarnayn. So from this tradition it is clearly evident that yes, somebody has definitely seen the wall from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam onwards. Many kings in different times sent their troops and armies to look for this wall. In Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah of Ibn Kathir has mentioned that the Khalif Wasiq Billah sent his army to look for the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. He writes that they were absent for 2 years, traveling from one city to another, one town to another, looking for the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They finally found this wall and they saw that it had a big door, وَعَلَيْهِ أَقْفَالٌ عَظِيمًا, and big padlocks on the doors, وَشَاهَدُوا أَهْوَالٌ وَعَجَائِبٌ, and they saw extraordinary things. However, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned this story in his tafsir and also in his tarikh, history, al-bidayah wa al-nihayah, وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ لَهَا سَنَدًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِصِحَّةِ ذَلِكَ. He has not mentioned a chain for this story, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how authentic this narration is, how authentic this story is. At this moment in time, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are trying to dig and break through the wall of Dhulqarnayn. Narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ يَعْجُوجَ وَمَعْجُوجَ يَحْفُرُونَ السَّدَّ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ حَتَّى إِذَا كَادُوا يَرَوْنَ شُوَاعَ الشَّمْسِ قَالَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِمْ اِرْجِعُوا فَتَحْفُرُونَهُ غَدًا. That the Ya'juj and Ma'juj break and dig through the wall erected by Dhulqarnayn, and they keep on digging till they reach the end, to the extent that they can actually see the light coming from the other side. قال الذي عليهم, the Amir says to them, ارجعوا, return, فتحفرونه غدا, we will finish the work tomorrow. They return, فيعيده الله وهو كهيهته يوم تركوه. They return and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the wall to revert to its original thickness. Next day they come, they dig and they keep on digging and breaking the wall of Dhulqarnayn till they get to the end, to the extent that they are able to see the rays of light on the other side. Yet again the Amir says to them, return, we will finish the work tomorrow. They return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the wall to revert to its original thickness. And this will keep on happening, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ الْوَقْتِ قَالَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ فَيَحْفُرُونَهُ وَيَخْرُجُونَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. This will keep on happening till their time comes, till the time comes for them to be released. On that night, they will say, إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, let us return and we will finish the work tomorrow. إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. They will return home. Next day when they come, they will find that the wall is exactly as they left it. They will break the remaining wall and they will emerge. This is what the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu states. However, I would like to mention here that some ulama have written that this narration or story was taken from the Bani Israel, was taken from the Jews, and thus it cannot be taken because it contradicts the verse of the Quran, فَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ لَوْ نَقْبَى, that they will not be able to cross it or pierce it. However, I would like to mention that the great master of hadith, Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani, who has written the best commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari to date. He has narrated this hadith in Fathul Bari on the authority of Abd ibn Humayd and Sahih ibn Hibban, on the authority of Abd ibn Humayd and Ibn Hibban. And he writes that the narrations go back to Qatada. He writes that in some of the narrations in the chains, some of the narrators, the Rijal, are of Sahih al-Bukhari. And at the same time, he has not raised any doubt in this being a marfu hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Instead, after narrating this hadith, he writes that Ibn al-Arabi has said that there are three miracles evident in this hadith. First, الأولى أن الله منعهم أن يوالوا الحفر ليل ونهارا. That it never occurs to these people that they must continue work during the night, because they are in such large numbers that they can easily delegate the work amongst themselves and work in shift. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow this thought to occur to them. Secondly, منعهم أن يحاولوا الرقي على سد بسلم أو آلة فلم يلحمهم ذلك. It never occurs to these people that they can merrily cross the mountain or scale the wall, which they can do through the aid of equipment which they possess in large numbers. This never occurs to them. And thirdly, أنه صدهم أن يقولوا إن شاء الله حتى يجيء الوقت المحدود. It never occurs to these people to say inshaAllah if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. And it will never occur to them to say inshaAllah till the time comes for them to be released. So Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani, after narrating this hadith, has mentioned these three miracles which Ibn al-Arabi rahmahullahu has related and written. If the opinion of Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani is taken, and it is proven that this hadith was not taken from the Bani Israel, was not taken from the Jews, and I find myself inclined towards Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani's opinion, even then this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not contradict the verse of the Quran, فَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ لَهُ نَقْبًا, as the verse of the Quran that they were not given power by God to pierce it and cross it is referring to the time of Dhulqarnain. That after, when Dhulqarnain built the wall, they were not given power at that time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cross the wall or pierce the wall. Thus there is no contradiction. Secondly, فَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ لَهُ نَقْبًا. The word naqb means a complete hole, that they will not be able to make a complete hole. And the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an clearly suggests that they are not able to make a complete hole. They get to the extent that they are able just to see light, rays of light coming in through the wall, but they are not able to make a complete hole. So there is no contradiction if the opinion of Ibn Hajr al-Asqalani rahimahullah was taken between this hadith and the words of the Quran, فَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوا وَمَا اسْتَطَاءُ لَهُ نَكْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Now let us move on to the hadith of Nawas bin Sam'an radiyallahu ta'ala an. As the hadith of Nawas bin Sam'an radiyallahu ta'ala an clearly describes what the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will do when they appear. After a short period, after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam has killed the Dajjal, a short period after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, كَأَنِّي قَدْ أَخْرَجْتُ عِبَادَنِّي لَا يُدَانُ لِأَحْدٍ بِقِتَالِهِمْ فَحَرِّزْ عِبَادِي إِلَى التُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to him that I am taking out servants of mine which nobody has the power to fight with. فَحَرِّزْ عِبَادِي إِلَى التُّورِ. Just take the believers for their protection to Mount Tur. وَيَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ يَعْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدْبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they will come forth from every lofty place causing fitna and devastation and bloodshed and destruction wherever they go. فَيَمُرُّ أَوَائِلُهُمْ عَلَى بُحَيْرَةَ بَرِيَّةٍ فَيَشْرَبُونَ مَا فِيهَا وَيَمُرُّ آخِرَهُمْ فَيَقُولُ لَقَدْ كَانَ بِهَذِهِ مَرَّةً مَاءٌ. Their first batch will reach the Lake of Tiberias, and their first bat will drink every, will drink all the water of Lake Tiberias. There will not be a single drop of water left inside this lake. When the last bat passes by the same lake, they will say, لَقَدْ كَانَ بِهَذِهِ مَرَّةً مَاءٌ. We're sure that at one time there was water inside this lake. They will cause fitna and devastation and destruction wherever they go. They will proceed, ثُمَّ يَسِيرُونَ حَتَّى يَنْتَهُوا إِلَى جَبَلِ الْخَمَرِ وَهُوَ جَبَلْ بِبَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. They will proceed and move on till they reach Baytul, till they reach Jabal al-Khamar, Mount Khamar, a mountain in Baytul Maqdis. They will say, لَكَدْ قَتَلْنَا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلُمَّ فَلْنَقْتُلْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. That we have killed those within the earth, let us now kill those within the heavens. فَيَرْمُونَ بِنُشَّابِهِمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَيَرُدُّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ نُشَّابَهُمْ مَخْضُوبَةً دَمًا. They will shoot their arrows towards the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return the arrows covered with blood. And these fools will think that they have killed those within the heavens. Meanwhile, وَيُحْصَرْ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ وَأَصْحَابُهُ حَتَّى تَكُونُ رَأْسَ الثَّوْرِ لِأَحَدِهِمْ خَيْرًا مِنْ مِئَةِ دِينَارٍ لِأَحَدِكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and the believers will remain confined to the mountain. They will have nothing much to eat till the head of an ox will be more valuable to one of them than 100 gold coins are to one of you today. فَيَرْغَبُ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ إِيسَى وَأَصْحَابُهُ. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and the believers will sincerely tell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will sincerely pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their destruction. فَيُرْسِلُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ النَّغَفْ فِي رِقَابِهِمْ فَيُصْبِحُونَ فَرْتَ كَمَوْتِ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the prayer of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and the prayer of the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send insects upon their necks, and next morning they will be all found dead like the death of one man. In the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is narrated that morning the believers will not be able to hear their noise. They will say, هَلْ مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَسْتَرِي نَفْسَهُ فَيَنْظُرْ مَا فَعَلُ. Is there anybody who will volunteer and sacrifice his life and go see what the situation is? One of the believers will volunteer. He will come down the mountain. He will think that he will never return, and the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will kill him. He will come down the mountain. He will see that they are all dead. He will say, أَبْشِرُوا. Good tidings, good news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of your enemy. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and the believers will descend, but they will find, فَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَوْضِعَ شِبْرٍ إِلَّا مَلَأُوا زَهَمًا وَنَسْرَهُمْ. They will find that the ground is covered with their stinky corpses and their fat, Allah, and their stinking fat. Yet again, for the second time, they will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيُرْسِلُ اللَّهُ طَيْرًا كَأَنَاكِ الْمُخْتِي فَتَحْمِلُهُمْ فَتَطْرُهُمْ حَيْثُ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. For a second time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the prayers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and will answer the prayer of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send birds like the necks of bacterian camels. These birds will come and they will take their rotten corpses and their stinky fat to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care and get rid of the fitna of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj from the surface of the earth, or from the surface of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq to ask from, and I said, وَأَخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.